Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitamscha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha, Patitanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 18, Prithu Maharaj milks the milk ocean. No, Prithu Maharaj milks the earth planet. Text number 8. Nunam ta viruda shina mai kalena Buyasa Tatra Yogena Drishtena Bhavan Adatum Arhati Nunam Tavirudash Nunam Tavirudakshina Mai Kalena Buyasa Tatra yogena drishtena Bhavan adatum arhati Nunam tavirudashina Vai kalena buyasa Tatra yogena drishtena Bhavan adatum arhati Nunam Tavirudashina Kalena Buyasa Tatra Yogena Drishtena Bhavanadatu Marhati Nunam Tavirudashina Vai kalena buyasa Tatra yogena drishtena Bhavanadatum arhati Nunam tavirudakshina Vai kalena buyasa Tatra yogena drishtena Bhavana Datu Marhati. Ladies. Nunam Tavirudashina. Mai Kalena Buyasa. Tatra Yogena Drishtena. Bhavana Datu Marhati. Nunam Tavirudashina Mai Kalena Buyasa Tatra Yogena Drishtena Bhavanada Dumarhati Nunam Daviridashina. Mahikalena Buyasa. Katra Yogena Drishtena. Bhavanadatum Arhati. Nunam. Therefore. Ta. Those. Viruda. Herbs and grains. Shina. Deteriorated. Mai. Within me. Kalena. In course of time. Buyasa. Very much. Tatra. Therefore. Yogena. By proper means. Drishtena, acknowledged. Bhavan, your majesty. Adatum, to take. Arhati, ought. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to being stocked for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras. Please repeat. Due to being stocked for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take those these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras. Who's speaking? Yes. Purport. When there is a scarcity of grain, the government should follow the methods prescribed in the Shastra and approved by the Acharyas. Thus there will be a sufficient production of grains, and food scarcity and famine can be checked. Bhagavad Gita recommends that we perform jaga sacrifices. By the performance of jaga, sufficient clouds gather in the sky. And when there are sufficient clouds, there is also sufficient rainfall. In this way, agricultural matters are taken care of. When there is sufficient grain production, the general populace eats the grains, and animals like cows, goats, and other domestic animals eat the grasses and grains also. According to this arrangement, human beings should perform the sacrifices recommended in the Shastras. If they do so, there will no longer be food scarcity. In Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice recommended is anyone else? You don't believe in Sankirtan Jagga? Sankirtan Jagga. Just only two people knew it. In this verse, there are two significant words, yogena, by the approved method, and drishtena, as exemplified by the former acharyas. One is mistaken if he thinks that by applying modern machines, such as tractors, grains can be produced. One is mistaken if he thinks that by applying modern machines, such as tractors, grains can be produced. If one goes to a desert and uses a tractor, there is still no possibility of producing grains. We may adopt various means, but it is essential to know that the planet Earth will stop producing grains if sacrifices are not performed. The Earth has already explained that because non-devotees are enjoying the production of food, she has reserved food seeds for the performance of sacrifice. Now, of course, atheists will not believe in the spiritual method of producing grains. But whether they believe it or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grains by mechanical means. As far as the approved method is concerned, it is enjoined in the Shastras that intelligent men in this age will take to the Sankirtan movement, and by so doing they shall worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, whose bodily complexion is golden and who is always accompanied by his confidential devotees to preach this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. In this present condition, the world can only be saved by introducing this Sankirtan, this Krishna consciousness movement. As we have learned from the previous verse, one who is not in Krishna consciousness is considered a thief. Even though he may be materially very advanced, a thief cannot be placed in a comfortable position. A thief is a thief, and he is punishable. Because people are without Krishna consciousness, they have become thieves. And consequently, they are being punished by the laws of material nature. No one can check this, but even by introducing so many relief funds and humanitarian institutions, Unless the people of the world take to Krishna consciousness, there will be a scarcity of food and much suffering. Our way, or the highway. Nunam vaviruda shina mai kalena buyasa tatra yogena drishtena bhavan adatum arhati. Due to being stocked for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sadharane. Here it talks about the atheists, that they don't believe that food comes from the performance of sacrifice. One time Prabhupada was asked that in the Western world, apparently there's not very many sacrifices going on, but still it appears that they have food. Prabhupada's answer was, or that they have money. And Prabhupada said, who has money, actually? In other words, what is actually money? People have a few pieces of paper, or many pieces of paper, but real money is, or real wealth is food and food grains, milk and grains. Without those things, one's wealth is useless, because eating is the very basis of existence. We can do without everything else, but without eating we'd be very uncomfortable. Just like if Savasprabhu said that this week is a fast week. The only thing you can get is no water, no food, only sunlight, and 3 gulps of air every other day. People, the devotees would get a little nervous. The community would rapidly diminish the number of devotees who are here. Because eating, whether it's breathing air, which is also considered eating, or sunlight, which is also kind of eating, and also water, which is also kind of eating, and food, which we chew with our teeth, that's also eating. So without eating, we cannot live for very long. Of course, we're not going to live very long anyhow, but we'd live an even shorter period of time. But where does all this come from? Why should we believe that it comes from sacrifice? Because look at these people, they're not performing any sacrifice. And their Safeway and all the other stores are full of food. So where is it coming from? Probably, of course, you've heard that story before, how the atheists in communist China it actually was, they asked the peasants that, who's giving you your food? So they said, I guess there were a few Catholic peasants in China or something. So they said, it's God's giving us the food. So they told the peasants to go to their church and pray for the food. So they went to their church and prayed, Dear God, please give us our food. They came back and the communists said, all right, did you get your food? And they said, no, dear communist friends, God didn't give us any food. The communists said, all right, now pray to us for the food. Dear communist friends, please give us our daily bread or rice, because it was China. And the communists immediately called for truckloads of rice, and they came and they delivered the rice. And then the communists said, my dear friends, who is better? Your God is better, or we're better? And they folded their hands and said, my dear communist friends, you're better because you give us our daily rice. And Prabhupada said, actually the way Prabhupada said it, was that if they would have asked me, if I would have been there, I said, you rascals, where'd you get the bread from or the rice? In other words, everyone is dependent upon the rain. So how does the rain come? The scientists say it comes by accident. Of course, that's their ultimate answer to everything. Everything's an accident. They're an accident. The rain's an accident. The land, the earth is an accident. Everything's an accident. Because if by accident they don't pay them for such, for their work, declaring everything as an accident, they go to get their paycheck and they said, oh, accidentally we deleted all your checks. Sorry. That's not possible, you know. Give me my money. No, it's just an accident. Don't worry about it. Everything's an accident. So just one of those accidents. Because if you go on the street, there's a big accident. The police come and say, what happened? Don't worry about it, police. Nothing really happened. It was just an accident. You know, just one of those accidents. Causeless accidents. No, they want to find out what caused the accident. The question is, what's causing the rain to come down? Is it just by whimsically, accidentally, that now they have this global warming? So they say that human beings, because they're using fossil fuels, this is causing global warming. It's not that people are opposed to that say, that's not possible. It's all an accident. They've understood that by there's a certain reaction. If they do a certain activity, they get a certain result. Similarly, why does performing sacrifice give us a result? Well, first of all, why do we get any result for anything? And Bhagavad Gita says that we're not even doing anything in the material world except for desiring. So this is not beyond our conception or our ability to perceive that. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as we've all heard so many times, that our bodies are changing, and who is doing anything to change their body here? Is anyone inside every cell of their body urging it along, change, please change? No, it's all going on completely beyond our control, even beyond our conception of what's happening, how it's happening. And yet it's happening. So who here can claim that they're the controller of anything around here? Is anyone changing anything here? No, the whole material world is going to change whether we want it to or not. We can't say, stop changing. We can't, for one moment, we can't even stop the tip of our thumb from changing. But we ourselves are eternal souls. In other words, although the body's changing, we're not changing. Our personality may change, our experience changes, but we're not changing at all. The person is perceiving this whole thing. But we're not aware of ourselves. So if we're not even aware of ourselves, how can we claim we know what's going on in the universe? We can't even find out who we are. We're not even aware of who we are. how do we know what's actually going on around here? Now we can use our intelligence, and by our intelligence we can perceive that we're eternal souls. And with a little bit of help from the Shastra, we can understand that although I'm not directly controlling the body, still my desires seem to have some influence. And that, according to the Shastra, is via the super soul within my heart, who's sensing my desires just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So now I'm desiring, what am I desiring? There are so many possibilities to desire. Generally, we're desired to satisfy the senses. Conditioned soul is quite aware of the body. And when the body's demanding something, the soul is desiring in terms of what can I do to serve you. Now, if that's true, that if there is a higher arrangement that I'm designed to serve the body, to move the body, to gratify the body, therefore, Krishna arranges through the material nature that the body moves here and there, and that different things are arranged to gratify the senses. Now, obviously we're not the only things in this universe. The Earth planet's not the only planet. There happen to be other things that are in the universe, like the sun, the wind, the moon, the air, water. So many things are here. So to think that it's all going on accidentally wouldn't make any sense, because after all, if I'm a soul, if I'm actually a spiritual soul, and I'm in this huge body which is moving beyond my conception, then how can these planets moving exact orbits, sun rising at the appointed time, sun setting at the appointed time, sun giving exactly the amount of heat and light necessary so that this body can be maintained on this planet so that I can be here in this body. Now, what is the purpose of the soul being in the body? Here it says that the purpose of the soul being in the body is to help the soul get out of the body. That's the ultimate purpose. The purpose of sending someone to prison is to rectify them so they can get out of prison. So why are we in the prison? Here it says that we're all thieves. Didn't mean to insult anyone. But we're honest thieves, as you've heard before. Nowadays, people want to be honest thieves. They get together, the United Nations, the League of Nations, so many meetings to try to figure out how to divide God's property up honestly. The group of thieves, they went to their hideout, they robbed the bank, the head thief stood up, raised his hands and said, "My dear fellow thieves, please, you're great thieves, we appreciate you, all glories to the thieves." It's all chant, "All glories to the thieves." "Now that we've stolen all this money, please, please, let us divide it up honestly." So they're thieves. Where is there any question of honesty? So presently in modern society, people want to be honest thieves. So many laws, be honest, pay your taxes, don't cross when it's red, cross when it's green, be honest, don't tell a lie. Our founder of this country, George Washington, set the example when he chopped the cherry tree down and they asked him, of course the axe was right in his hand, "Who chopped down the tree?" I guess it was me. Probably the only, one of the only honest politicians. So this is called honesty. But actually he was a thief like everyone else, because he didn't realize that everything belongs to Krishna. So because we've been stealing from Krishna since time immemorial, we've been put into these bodies, and the one thing that is the most difficult to understand is the fact that we're not the proprietors either of this body or anything in the world. Because the only way of understanding that is to utilize the body in Krishna's service. And when you utilize the body in Krishna's service, that's called sacrifice. Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. First of all, Krishna asked everyone to think of me. So who's thinking of God? A few people are thinking about God, but not very many. And when they think about God, is it really God they're thinking about? Something vague is better than nothing. Gajendra didn't exactly know who God was, but still, he had some faith that there is a supreme. So that's better than nothing. But it's not very likely that in all circumstances one will think of the great nothingness who's supplying everything. Without knowing about Krishna, it's very hard to think about him very much. What to speak of without being in love with Krishna is very difficult to think of him. Without being in love with anyone, it's difficult to think about them. I mean, how many people walk around America thinking of Bush all the time? President Bush. Because especially those who don't. Of course, if one hates him, one may think about him more than the ordinary person. But most people don't. They try to forget our modern leadership. So without loving the modern leader, Krishna, the most eternal leader, it's very hard to think about him. So why would anyone love Krishna unless there was some kind of relationship? And how can there be a relationship unless we participate in the relationship? If Krishna is giving us so many things, if he supplied the sun, the moon, the air, the light, the water, and we're just taking, 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 and every time his name comes up, we say, get lost. That's not a very good relationship. Just think how your mother would feel. She took care of you. And then she says, can you take out the garbage? Get lost. I don't believe in you. Couldn't you do anything for me? Forget it. What did you ever do for me? Well, I did everything for you. Well, I don't care. Wasn't enough anyhow. Wasn't what I wanted. That's called ungratefulness. So similarly, Krishna is giving us so many things, and people's reaction is to simply live in denial. Denial of his existence, denial of their position, and simply living in illusion. I don't need God. I don't need anyone superior to me. I just want to enjoy my senses. It's me and my senses, and nothing else really matters. Well, that's not the way the material world has been arranged, according to Krishna. He says, Devam bhava yata dena te deva bhavayantuva parashparam bhavayantak shayak paramavapsita. That the demigods, being pleased by performance of sacrifice, supply all necessities to man, and thus reign prosperity for all. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasinte jagabhavita tadata pradaya ibyo yobungte steneva saha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods provide all necessities, but he who enjoys these gifts without reciprocating with the demigods, without performance of sacrifice, is certainly a thief. Stena. So modern people are thieves. So apparently we may think we're living in a very opulent country where all the thieves have stolen so much from God, and still there's no reaction. But actually, what is the opulence in this country? What is the actual opulence? There's no fresh air here in L.A. Where is the fresh air? Tell me, I'll go there immediately. There's no clean water. Even the bottled water, no one knows what's really in it, except for plastic. Where is the good food? Where is the fresh food, organic food? You have to specially buy it. You have to look for it. And I'm sure it's not grown in L.A., the organic food. Where is the opulence? The air is polluted. The food's polluted. The water is polluted. The sound vibrations are polluted. People's relationship is polluted. They can't eat properly. They can't sleep properly. They have no good relationships. They're always in anxiety, insecure, and they think they're wealthy. What are they spending their money on? What is the value of their money if they're miserable all the time? Well, they have a nice house. Yeah, all right, so you have a nice house. But you can't sleep in it. You're too much in anxiety to pay for it. The mortgage. You can't eat in it. You don't know how to cook. You go to some restaurant. The guy, sneezes right into your food. What kind of food is it? You don't know what's happening. You don't know what you're eating. You're eating some piece of meat. You don't even know what part of the animal it is, usually. The waiter would be embarrassed to tell you what you're eating. And you're thinking you're wealthy because your wallet is full of all kinds of paper bills. And you're always in anxiety. So this wealth is theoretical. It's not real wealth. If you had billions of a whole ocean of plastic and steel, what good is it? Say we were going to give anyone here $1 billion if you could live in one room in a house, but there would be no air in the house, there would be no water, no food. If you could just live there for one day without air, water, and food. And we give you $500 million if we put in air and water, but we didn't give you any food for 6 months. What good would it be? So what to speak of people living their whole lives, they're not eating any real food. They're eating something that looks like food. They may chew it a couple of times to see what it tastes like. But it was analyzed compared to what real food is. There's no value to it. Nowadays, you eat a carrot, you don't even know if it's vegetarian anymore. As I said before, they once fed a box of shredded wheat to rats to see what the nutritional value of the shredded wheat would be. And the rats, they ate the box and left the shredded wheat. They knew where the actual nutrition was. So what is the value of their so-called paper money? They don't know how to utilize it properly. And of course, here there is something like food. In other places, there may be less. But if you go to a third world country, like I travel extensively, usually the food is better when the people are poorer because they're forced to grow their own food. They're forced to eat organic food. Because many times they don't want to eat that food because it's not important. Here you eat fruit. It looks like fruit, but it's all picked unripe. It's all out of season. And people are just satisfied that we have fruit. We're eating fruit. We must be healthy. Anyhow, enough of that. The point is that without performance of sacrifice, not only people won't get the necessities of life, but they only have the intelligence to understand what the necessities of life are. People working hard day and night to get what? To pay a mortgage off. To get a car so they can go to their work. So they can work harder and harder. Get a bigger and bigger house. So they can spend less and less time at home. And when they get at home, they watch television. See how everyone else is suffering. That's their only enjoyment. I thought I was bad. Look at television, Mom. I don't feel so bad. Now I feel fortunate. At least they're not dropping bombs on our neighborhood yet. I feel actually blissful seeing how everyone else is suffering. That's my only happiness. And we can pop, our TV dinner into the oven, and whatever is in it, we can eat it and go to sleep and dream about all the misery I'm going through. Anyhow, not a very optimistic class. But there is some optimistic. If we chant Hare Krishna, if we follow the process of Jagga, then we'll actually get free from our misconception of identifying with our body, with our minds, with these material circumstances. We'll actually realize who we are, and that's quite fortunate. There's good news, because we're all eternal. Therefore, we have nothing to worry about. The bad news is that we're constantly worrying because we don't know who we are. So if we find out who we are, then all our problems are solved. All our material problems are solved because we'll find out we have no material problems. The only problem is that we think we have problems. But we got a lot of those problems. So by the performance of Jagga, we can become free from all these problems, realize our eternal identity, and ultimately realize who the object of sacrifice is, Krishna. If we serve the senses, we simply get problems. And if we serve Krishna, we simply get pleasure and enlightenment. So we can make our choice. That's our choice. Here the Bhagavatam is trying to give us the choice. People deny that they're not their body. They'll deny that the fact that there's a God in control. They'll deny everything. And they'll simply endlessly go on serving their senses in the 8,400,000 species of life. But we shouldn't follow their example. We shouldn't follow their instructions. We should follow the instructions of Bhagavatam. Even if our mother tells us not to do it, we should still follow Bhagavatam anyhow. Because that will actually give us some benefit. And if we tell other people about the good news, the fact that we're all eternal, we have nothing to worry about, there is a God in control and He's our best friend. And if we follow His instructions, everything will become auspicious. And if we don't, then Kali Yuga will wind up in the midst of Kali Yuga and simply go on chewing the chute. And it's not going to get better. It doesn't matter who gets elected. It's going to be the same problems again and again. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.